see all the cameras back there. Friday, there'll be one like always. All right, I think this one, going against San Francisco, I'm glad we're playing at home because I think we're going to need our fans. Hopefully that'll be a big edge for us to have home field advantage, get our fans behind us. I think that's, that would give us a big boost because, quite honestly, this football team right here is loaded. When you look at them, starting on their defense, when we evaluate players, our pro personnel department, they start, blue, red, white, whatever it is. But the grades, when you have a blue, that means you're Pro Bowl. You're not even Pro Bowl, but all pro. We have our evaluation is seven, blue players on defense alone. So when you look at it, that's I don't know if I've ever seen that many. But when you look at them, they certainly are deserving of that. Both their inside linebackers are, tremendous athletes, run hit guys. They fly around. They never come off the field, except Willis came off, obviously, in that last game with a little bit of an ankle. I understand he'll play. I was going to call Harbs up, make sure that he doesn't play, but I don't think he's going for that. And so you start with those two, and then you got the two bookends with Brooks and then Alden Smith. Obviously, Alden Smith last year had the 14 sacks when the, half a sack away from the rookie record last year. So that's impressive right there. I think Justin Smith's about as good as there is at D-line. Obviously, I remember when he came out of Missouri as a first-round pick, went to the Bengals for years, but wow, he was a great player then, but he's even a better player now. And then you look at the secondary, you got Golson, the Pro Bowl safety with the six picks. Big physical guy, can do it all. Was a corner in college. I mean, that's what you're looking for at that position, obviously. And then, and by the way, Whitner's the other safety, a throw in. So it's a great group of safeties. They're corners with the Pro Bowler Rodgers with six picks. So this is a very deep and talented defense. I know their coordinator well. He's probably a blue also, a guy named Fangio, Vic Fangio, great coach. I had the pleasure of coaching with Vic in Baltimore for a couple of years. Tremendous, work ethic and great football coach. And then offensively, you look at that offensive line. I think you start with that offensive line. You have two Pro Bowlers on the left side with Staley and Iapati. And then the right tackle, I think, will be a future Pro Bowler, that Davis kid from right here in Rutgers. He's a tremendous player. He's a very talented guy. The right guard's a giant Ohio State kid. I think he's 6'8", like 320 or something like that. And then Goodwin's a veteran center. So that's a solid group. Vernon Davis, to me, the premier tight end in football, 4.3 speed. So, and they have Frank Gore back there, who's had more 100-yard games than any back since 05 with 30 of them. He's pretty good. Oh, that's right. And then the quarterback's got 102 quarterback rating. Alex Smith. True story. I've never met Alex Smith before. I'm in a Super Bowl function, and I heard somebody say, Aaron Rodgers and all that. And I said, okay, there's Aaron Rodgers. Hey, well, good luck to you. At some function or whatever. And I'm like, that's not Aaron Rodgers. one of those deals. he's going to try to get me back for that one. But anyway, obviously, Alex, a tremendous quarterback, great athlete. And, like I say, the thing that's impressive, you talk about game managers and all. This guy's much more than a game manager. But when you look at a stat, 250 of his last throws, he's thrown one interception. So the guy's smart with the football, and he's a good athlete. He'll run with it when it's not there. And then at receiver, clearly they made an emphasis of improving their receiving core. They go out, they obviously get Randy Moss as a free agent. They get Manningham as a free agent. They had a first-round pick that's not even active for them with the Jenkins kids out of Illinois. So, obviously, that was an area they wanted to improve. But they're very talented. Crabtree, I think, is, you know, outstanding route runner. He's really doing a great job for them. So, you know, they got plenty of weapons. That's for sure over there. They'll play Greg Roman. I coach with Greg, another, you know, outstanding coach. He's putting the you know, it's funny, the teams are similar. You know, you got both offensive coordinators are very, you know, imaginative. They've, you know, very creative guys. Both of them are like offensive line mentality. Both of them were power lifters, you know, all that. I know Giro is a great power lifter and things. But smart, creative, innovative guys and tough guys. So that's what they have right there with Greg Roman as well. And, you know, and then special teams, they had the number one special teams unit in all of football last year with the Pro Bowl kicker, obviously, and a Pro Bowl punter in Andy Lee and you know, the big lefty up there, one of my drawing a blank, Akers, as the what the heck's his name?
David.
Yeah, David Akers, that's what I thought. Trying to disrespect him. Just kidding. Because the guy's like a 30-degree black belt. I'm not going to mess with that guy. All right. But either way, it's a great unit. And that's why it matches up well, I think, you know, from their coaching staff. I know them very well. It's an outstanding coaching staff with assistants and all that. The players, I mean, this ought to be one heck of a game. And that's why I'm challenging our fans that they could very easily be the difference. And we need you. You know, we need our fans out there and supportive, you know, make it tough on them as possible, and we obviously have to do a great job on the field. With that, I'll open it up for questions.
Rex, both teams want to play physical, so what's the challenge for your players to match their physical so they can play more?
Well, it definitely is a physical challenge and things, but it's smart. They give you a lot of different things, you know, a lot of different formation, personnel groups, so you got to be on top of it. Mentally, you have to be sharp, and then obviously physically, a physical challenge going up against that kind of talent over there, you know, obviously is going to be a tough matchup as well.
What are you doing to compensate for having Revis?
Well, you know, I'd love to have Darrell. I wish Darrell was playing and all that, but we have to move on, and we will. We'll have a, I like our plan going into the game, and you know, sometimes. You know, we'll do multiple things, and that's how we're going to approach it.
Rex, how do you reconcile what you think your defense is and can be and the numbers they've allowed so far?
Well, the most important numbers is the 2-1 record. Obviously, that's the most important one. But when my twin brother's number one in the league in defense and we're 21st, that stings a little bit. There's no question. I'm proud of him, but like I said, he can be two. That'd be fine with me. But you know, clearly we need to improve, and definitely in two major areas. And we will definitely be challenged this week in those areas: the run defense, and obviously our third down defense. Those two areas in particular have to improve for us.
When you talk about those two areas, I'm curious: do you at all look at that as a toughness or mental toughness issue?
Well, I think, certainly you don't want teams running the football on you. You know, there's times when you're willing to give up some runs, but there's other times when, quite honestly, we haven't played run defense to our standards without question.
Do you think you have to change anything schematically, defensively, to address those two areas?
Well, if I did, I wouldn't say anything about it. So,
what's it been like? Because, you know, it's been 48 hours since we spoke to you, but just having to go into game plan meetings with your defensive coaches for the first time since you've been here, knowing, you know, number 24 is not around, what kind of challenges did it pose when you guys got all your heads together?
Well, I mean, you know, we've always said Darrell, in my opinion, is that the top defensive player, you know, in the league, and he allows you to do different things. He's not in there, so your plan adjusts. Now, we are, like I've said before, we are super fortunate to be, you know, to have a, you know, Antonio Cromartie, who in my opinion is the number one corner. And, you know, clearly that's going to be you know, his challenge, and Kyle's coming in to be the starting corner. We know he has that talent, and but it's across the board where our guys have got to improve. You know, we have to take it all on ourselves. Each guy, each man has to pick it up a little bit. And but, you know, we're very confident in the group that we have.
Without getting into the details of what you're going to do, Rex, how did you handle it with your defensive coaches? Like, did you say to them, all right, go away and then come back and, you know, come up with three or four ideas or things that we can do different? Did you sit around a table and brainstorm about it? Do you have a contingency already?
That's every week, though. Every week you you know, you challenge it. Each guy, each coach has specific things that they're really in charge of, you know, as far as getting it, you know, on paper. And then we do sit around, we throw things back and forth. We, you know, the plans never stay the same. There's always some adjustments and things like that. And this week was no different.
Chris, you touched on this the other day, but would you be more apt to take more chances? I think someone asked you about aggressiveness, but would you take more gambles in terms of rushing the passer, knowing that you can't have a quarterback there for an extended amount of time because of what's on the back end?
Well, I like what's on our back end, but you know, that's something you definitely, you know, you want to keep people off balance. Sometimes you pressure when they think you're going to cover. Sometimes you cover when they think you're going to pressure, or you give simulated pressure. That's what we always do. But that's, you know, that's certainly a possibility that we could go, you know, be more aggressive. And I mentioned it with the 85 Bears. The 85 Bears had three college safeties and a college receiver, you know, in their back end. But their pressure was so intense that the ball had to come out, you know, extremely early, or you got sacked, I think, 81 times or whatever it was, 72 times or whatever it was, the NFL record.
Well, how would you assess the pass rush to this point, generally?
Well, I think it's hard to rush a passer when teams are running the ball on you as effectively as they are. So I think that's, you know, that's certainly been an issue. But again, we need to get in positions where, you know, we can beat you know, guys one on one and things like that. That's something that we have to do.
Rex, the Sports Center is just reporting that there seems to be an agreement in hand in principle between the referees and the league. If this is, and that they could be working already on Sunday. What kind of a relief would that be to you? And what can you say about that?
Well, really, I mean, that's news to me, number one. But if, you know, if that's the case, all we can do is, and all I'm going to do is get our football team ready to play. And no matter who's out there officiating, that's the job of any head coach. And so, you know, I can't concern myself with who's officiating or not. We just got to get our team ready.
Rex, going back to Sunday for a minute, what went through the thinking before halftime? The Dolphins had the ball pinned back with about a minute 45 left. Why didn't you use timeouts there to try to force things?
Well, I thought about it going in and on the first down calling it, but I was actually trying to keep them running. Was going to save one timeout, use it on second and third down, and then they threw an incompletion, whatever, you know. So whatever the case was, when we had the penalty, you know, they ran the one play and we're, I think, I believe there was an injury or something on the play, but either way, there was, as it worked out, you know, hindsight being 20/20, I probably should have used them and forced them to punt. You know, that I probably could have done a better job of that.
Rex, probably aware of what Reggie Bush said yesterday. You know, I guess he was upset with maybe some of your comments from last week, the hot sauce line, and he said what goes around comes around, referring to Darrell's injury. What do you make of that?
You know, my thing with when Reggie was saying that, what I said, you know, the hot sauce, meaning you have to pour a ton of attention on him. Like, he's going to get a ton of attention, just like Vernon Davis is going to get a ton of attention this week. You know, Frank Gore is going to get a ton of attention this week. And that's kind of what I was meaning by it. And, you know, I guess he took it a different way or something like that. Clearly, look, I respect this game and respect the players in this league. The men that play in this league, they're special people. And by no means, you know, do I ever want to see anybody, you know, leave a field due to an injury. You know, but with that said, I want to be physical. Like, we want to hit guys. There's no question about that. That you want to, you know, you want to go back to the huddle You know, do I really want to stick it in there that hard or whatever because I'm going to get hit? I mean, that's something you definitely want. Like, we want to be as physical as we can, but I never want to injure a player. And, you know, I think he maybe misinterpreted, you know, what I was saying. And you know, clearly it's not just the New York Jets losing a great football player, but the NFL loses a great football player in Darrell Revis.
What about his comment, though, that what goes around comes around?
Well, I think he definitely, you know, misinterpreted my comment. But in the next time we play him, he's going to get attention from us, you know, because he's a great football player. It's almost a compliment than it is, you know, taken a different way.
2 years ago, you won a string of games, Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, that you thought has cumulatively helped you guys later on when you had to win games. That were in the battle for the fourth quarter. Did you get the same kind of sense out of emerging from that slop ball on Sunday that just by winning that game, that, you know, down the road that's going to be something you can draw on?
I think anytime you can win games like that, that, you know, that are go back and forth and all that type of stuff, I think is huge. I think it does give you confidence in close games that you've been there before and you can find a way to win. I think that's, you know, that's important. Clearly, a couple of years ago, you made mention of that. I mean, a couple of years ago, when you looked, we got into the playoffs. That's how we beat Indianapolis. And then, you know, even moving forward, had a close game in New England. But those are things, even when we got down to Pittsburgh, we never thought we were out. We knew we could come back. Why? Because we had come back in previous games. So I think some of that, it definitely builds your confidence when you can win games like that.
Specific to Mark. Obviously, he had his struggles in the first few quarters, but the idea that he was able to make a couple of plays in the fourth quarter, is that what your memory is more coming out of the game than the other stuff?
Well, I mean, you look at everything, but clearly, you know, there's some guys that their game doesn't, you know, if it's going bad, it goes bad a whole day. Mark's not like that. You know, Mark is, you know, there might be times when maybe it's not going perfect, but at the end of the game, and that's what this team has, a huge belief that we're going to win anyway, just because Mark actually gets at his best at the end of those games. And he's done that, you know, throughout his career, that you always feel like you have a chance.
Was there any thought about converting some of the players that you currently have on your team into cornerback roles after what happened with Revis?
Right. And we'll do that this week with Joe McKnight. We'll, you know, he'll have a role on offense, but we're also getting him we're teaching him how to play corner in a almost not quite a full-time capacity, but he's going to be over there a ton in the meetings and everything else, because he's a guy that we saw on scout team when he was a rookie, that he has the necessary skills to be able to play corner. He's got the speed, the size, athleticism, ball skills, everything you look for in a corner. And so I don't think there's any reason not to think that that Joe McKnight couldn't be a corner. It's just going to take time, obviously. But I think, with Dennis Thurman and with Jimmy over there, I think we got, you know, great teachers of the game, and I think it'll be interesting. But I definitely would not bet against Joe McKnight becoming a good corner.
Rex,
we can do just the last question.
Okay. For the most part, your three games, absent from them were any of the egregious calls, ref calls that have kind of characterized some other games. Do you and coaches, guys, feel like you kind of sort of have emerged unscathed through this thing? I mean, what's your take on? I mean, do you look at it and go, boy, it could have been a lot worse for us given what's happened around the league?
You know, my focus has always been on this football team, and those are the things that you can control. Who's, you know, just trying to get our team better, and I think that's, you know, I think in my job, you can't worry about other things. I think we have enough worries, you know, about getting our team playing at a high level.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
I'll come back. I'll give you all